9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
National Basketball Association superstar LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers has achieved another career milestone, but his team continues to slump. Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports. LeBron became the youngest player in NBA history to score 30,000 career points, but the Cavs lost to the host San Antonio Spurs Tuesday night, 114-102. It was the 10th loss in the past 13 games for Cleveland. Overall, LeBron tallied a team-high 28 points against the Spurs in becoming the seventh member of the 30,000 career point club in NBA history. Now, at 33 years and 24 days, LeBron James is the youngest player to get 30,000 points. Kobe Bryant, remember him? Well, Kobe was 34 years and 104 days old when he got to 30,000. The five other members of the 30,000 point club are German star Dirk Nowitzki, who's still playing for the Dallas Mavericks, the late Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time career scoring leader with 38,387 points. Speaking to reporters in the Cleveland locker room in San Antonio, LeBron had this to say about reaching 30,000 points.
I thank all my teammates and coaches that I had an opportunity to shake hands with at that moment, and thank the Spurs fans, obviously, and the Spurs Nation here for being a part of, obviously, of this moment for me. And it's a special moment, you know. It's just I just started thinking about my journey, you know, my journey from being a kid that first picked up a basketball when I was 5 years old to first starting playing organized basketball when I was 9, you know, all the way up until this point. So, you know, I give a lot of thanks to a lot of people. You know, it's just a special moment. It's something I never set out to do. You know, I'm not even like a score first guy when it comes to playing basketball. I love getting my teammates involved and seeing my teammates be excited about scoring and me getting assists and things of that nature. But for me to sit here and be the youngest player to ever reach 30,000, I put a lot of work into my game, and it's been a byproduct of that.
Cleveland Cavaliers basketball star LeBron James. In other NBA results Tuesday night, the Los Angeles Lakers edged the visiting Boston Celtics 108-107. It was the fourth consecutive loss for the Celtics, who have 34 wins on the season, second most in the league, behind the defending champion Golden State Warriors. The Warriors won their 38th game Tuesday night with a 123-112 victory over the visiting New York Knicks. Warriors star Kevin Durant had a career-high 14 assists in the game, but you might say KD left the contest with a sour taste in his mouth. Durant mouthed off to the officials. He got two technical fouls and was ejected with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. And in two more results, the Sacramento Kings scored a 105-99 road victory over the Orlando Magic, and the Oklahoma City Thunder edged the visiting Brooklyn Nets 109-108. Russell Westbrook, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, made a go-ahead layup with about 3 seconds left to help Oklahoma City rally from a 15-point second-half deficit. Joining us once again on the show for some hoop talk is Wamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Wamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Nice to be here again.
Welcome back, Wamoyo. We got to begin with LeBron. 30,000 career points. Your reaction?
30,000, major achievement for an NBA player. He joins this exclusive club of players who have reached that point.
Exclusive.
And, yeah, and I watched the game last night, and he made the 30th point just as the second quarter was closing. And that moment is a moment to admire, and all the other players, the way they congratulated him from both teams. It's a major, major achievement. And the fact that he got in as the youngest player. Now, to understand how difficult this is, it took Michael Jordan 38 years,
wow,
321 days to reach 30,000 points. 38 years. And Kobe Bryant, 34 years, LeBron, 33 years. But there's also a caveat. You know, you always got to be careful when you compare Michael Jordan with any other player. You know, Michael came into the league much older than
LeBron
and Kobe Bryant, because they skipped high school. He played through college.
That's true. That's
so
true.
That's the reason why I think it took Michael Jordan 38 years.
I know the comparisons between LeBron and MJ will continue, but where do you rate LeBron among the greats in the NBA, Wamoyo?
Very, very high. LeBron, he's the way he plays and the achievement he has made, you know, reaching the finals 8 times in a row, and, you know, even though he hasn't won all 8 championship, but the way he plays, the way he's more powerful than Michael Jordan, for instance, when you compare the game. But then again, you know, Michael Jordan, it's very hard to make a case against Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is still up there. And for people of certain age, you know, this argument also goes with age. The younger ones, they like the younger players.
That's right. You know, that's right. Kobe.
Yes, Kobe. But Kobe's getting old now. You know, a lot of younger people be talking about Steph Curry and, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. While older guys are talking about Kobe, Shaq, Will Chamberlain, Michael Jordan. You know, that's the way it goes.
As I mentioned, Wamoyo, LeBron's big achievement came in a losing effort by the Cleveland Cavaliers. They haven't been really playing the best of basketball lately. Why is that?
That's about the only thing that puts a smile on LeBron James these past 2 weeks. Because, you know what? There is trouble in the King's Court.
I like that. Trouble in the King's Court.
Because Cleveland haven't been doing very well. I mean, they have lost 10 out of 13 games. Mm. And in the past 2 weeks, they have been crushed in games. They were beaten by 28 points by Minnesota Timberwolves. To the Toronto Raptors, they lost by 34 points.
Goodness.
To the OKC, they lost by 24 points. And then there was this talk about, you know, having a team meeting where they met in private and talked about some troubles with Love. And then the players come out of the meeting, and then they start talking about what they were talking about in their private meeting. That tells you something about the, you know, the chemistry. The talent is there, but the chemistry is not there for Cleveland Cavaliers.
And in terms of the chemistry, Wamoyo, they recently brought back Isaiah Thomas. Maybe it's going to take a while before he is integrated into the team.
It's going to take a while because he hasn't been playing with the team. He hasn't trained well with the team. And, you know, I was reading through several articles, and it looks like they're leaning towards putting in J.R. Smith as the starter, because J.R. Smith trained very well before the season, and he's been ready. But when the season started, he was put on the bench. So maybe that could get them started. But still, I mean, it will take them, you know, real confidence and bring themselves to the form that they're supposed to be before they can really show us that they are the favorite team in this season.
The Celtics also experiencing a bit of a slump right now, Momoyo. Your thoughts on the Celtics?
I think it's a natural, you know, thing to happen in a season. You have a team that we didn't expect much for them in this season, but they started so high and they kept on playing and they were playing very well. But you always hit a skid sometime during the season. And that's a real test of what this team can do. I think the Celtics are in that place right now. They are being tested. If they can take this form and play this way throughout the season and take it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Momoyo, we mentioned LeBron. You talked about Steph Curry. They are the captains for next month's NBA All-Star Game. For our VOA listeners wondering about the teams, why don't we run down the lineups for the Eastern Conference and Western Conference All-Stars, and beginning with the West.
Beginning with the West, Steph Curry from Golden State, of course. James Harden, Houston. Kevin Durant, KD.
KD.
Golden State, Antonio Davis. I really like this big guy. You know, I really, really like
Very
him.
Very talented.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins is in. And the reserves, you have Damian Lillard, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson is in there. Russell Westbrook, I wonder why he's not in the starting team.
Yeah, he's amazing. He had the winning basket last night.
Yes, Draymond Green, LaMarcus Aldridge from San Antonio, Karl Anton Towns, those are the reserves for the Western Conference.
Westbrook, he says it's outrageous that his teammate Paul George is not on the All-Star team, Momoyo. Should George have been on the All-Star team?
Probably not. I mean, he's a good player. He has played well in the past, but this season with OKC, I don't think he's in the form of an NBA All-Star. I don't think so.
Okay, let's run down the East starters for the NBA All-Star Game on February 18th in Los Angeles. The guards are Kyrie Irving of the Celtics and DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. LeBron James, can't forget LeBron. He's on the East team. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks.
Uh-oh.
Maybe the most exciting player in the NBA right now. And then we also have Joel Embiid, the young star from Cameroon. Those are the starters. The reserves, two of my favorite players, Momoyo, John Wall and Bradley Beal. Of the Washington Wizards.
Hometown boys. Very exciting. I really want to see John Wall in the three-point contest.
The other reserve players named to the All-Star Game for the East, Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers, Kevin Love of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kristaps Porzingis, the big Latvian star for the New York Knicks, and Al Horford of the Boston Celtics. This time around for the All-Star Game, Momoyo, kind of a change in format. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Yeah, the change is they pick the captains for the teams. Steph Curry and LeBron James. And now, in the next few days, the two guys, they will pick players to be on their team. It doesn't matter whether they're from Western Conference or Eastern Conference.
So, in other words, Kevin Durant could possibly play with LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think it makes it the NBA star game is a fun game, high scoring game. It's a place where the players can show off and
a lot of dunks.
You know, a lot of dunks and all that. So this type of system, I think, will make it even more exciting because the players, they play loose and it doesn't matter whether you are from the Western Conference or Eastern Conference.
The game will be played at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and I'm running down those list of names we just read out, Momoyo. No Lakers and no Clippers in the All-Star game. But they're, you know, the Lakers, I think, are a team to watch in the next few years.
Exactly, because they've been making progress since the start of the season. The way they came out of the gate, they were not very impressive. But now they're starting to pick up. Even when they lose, they are competitive in a game. So in a few years, the Lakers will go back where they used to be, you know. Lakers, Showtime. It's a big market team. and it's always going to be there.
Are there any players, Momoyo, that you think should have been included in the All-Star game?
Wow. There are some, but you can't really make a lot of arguments with the team that is has been selected so far. You know, Kawhi Leonard didn't play so many games in the season with the San Antonio Stars, so he's out of consideration. There are some other players who have been good for their teams, but when compared with other players who have been selected in the All-Star, I think it's a fair selection.
Finally, Momoyo, first All-Star appearance for Joel Embiid, the very talented young center from Cameroon. Your thoughts on Embiid?
It's his time to shine. There's a little story I will tell you. You know, when Joel Embiid was a rookie, he got into social media trying to get a date with Rihanna.
The singer.
And Rihanna told him, call me back when you get into the NBA All-Star. So this time he is in the NBA All-Star. So when they asked him, hey, you're going to try to get the date with Rihanna? He said, well, she rejected me then, so I'm moving on. There's a story for you.
Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service. Thank you, Hoops Hamza.
Sure.
Now let's go to Morocco, where group play wraps up this evening at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament. Our VOA football fans will remember this is for locally based players in Africa. Congo Brazzaville is playing Angola in Agadir, and Burkina Faso is facing Cameroon in Tangier. Both are Group D matchups. The Red Devils from Congo, with 6 points from two matches, already have clinched a berth in the quarterfinals, and the Angolans, with 4 points, are well-placed to join them in the next round. A draw will see Angola through. In results Tuesday, Libya and Nigeria clinch quarterfinal berths with victories. The Libyans edge Rwanda 1-0 in Tangier on a late goal in injury time by Elmoutassem Aboushnaf. And Nigeria defeated Equatorial Guinea 3-1 in Agadir. The Nigerians will play the runner-up in Group D, while the Libyans will go against the Group D winner in the quarterfinals. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker will trade punches March 31st in a world heavyweight title unification fight in Cardiff, Wales. The 28-year-old Joshua holds the WBA and IBF versions of the heavyweight crown, while the 26-year-old Parker is the WBO champion. Both prize fighters are unbeaten. Joshua has a perfect 20-0 record with 20 knockouts, and Parker has won all 24 of his professional fights with 18 knockouts. The two boxers recently promoted their bout at a news conference in London. Joshua says he plans to be in tip-top shape for Parker.
I think we're all blessed with the ability to work hard. There's no doubt about that, but one thing that I think separates myself is the fact that I mix intelligence with hard work. So not only am I going to be in peak physical condition, I'm making sure my mind's in the right place as well at all times. So I'm looking forward to embrace the challenge, not only from a physical standpoint, but the mental challenge that will come with this fight as well.
In Anthony Joshua's last fight almost 3 months ago, also at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, he stopped Cameroon-born Carlos Takam in the 10th round. Joseph Parker's last fight was 4 months ago when he scored a majority decision victory over Huey Fury, the cousin of Tyson Fury, in Manchester, England. Parker says he's now ready for a grueling training camp to get ready for Joshua.
This is probably going to be the hardest camp in terms of training the hardest and putting in the most work, because I have a big challenge in front of me, Joshua. Joshua, I've watched him for a long time. I know he's watched me coming up. I know his strengths. I know he knows mine. I know his weaknesses, and he thinks he knows my weaknesses. And I look forward to, I can't wait to have this fight happen March 31. Can't wait to train hard. Can't wait to be back. to put on a great performance, hopefully catch him on the chin and knock him out.
Joseph Parker talks about strengths and weaknesses. Anthony Joshua was asked whether he'll focus on a particular Parker weakness.
The focus is to win and do whatever you can to win. It's like I could be waiting for Joseph to throw a lazy jab the whole fight, but it could be something that he's brushed up on in this training camp. So in terms of his strengths and weaknesses, I don't know what they're going to work on this camp. This is going to be his best fight. So let me work on what I'm good at, what I'm weak at, and I'll bring something different. But at the end of the day, at heavyweight boxing, you know, this isn't a 3-round fight based on skills. This is a 12-round dogfight, and you got to have heart.
You got to have heart. That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua. He'll fight Joseph Parker on March 31st in a heavyweight title unification bout in Cardiff, Wales. And Joshua was speaking in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In disability sports, a Chinese athlete was recently nominated for a top award. VOA's Jim Stevenson reports.
A paraplegic rock climber in Hong Kong is China's first ever nominee for the world's greatest moment in sports. The wheelchair user hopes to inspire his countrymen and others living with disabilities to overcome the challenges that stand between them and their dreams. Lai Chaiwei is a four-time winner of the Asian Rock Climbing Championships and China's first winner of the X Games. A car accident in 2011 paralyzed him from the hip down, but the 35-year-old just won't quit.
I love to rock climb. Before, there was a lot more freedom. I could go to various indoor climbing spaces, or if I wanted to go rock climbing outdoors, I could do it whenever I wanted to. But now that I'm in a wheelchair, I need to consider a lot of things. Is it appropriate for me to climb? Is it safe? Are people able to help me? Rock climbing in a wheelchair requires a lot of assistance. There are limits, and it requires consideration of the conditions before I can climb. Even though there's a lot more hassle, I can still do it, but it just requires the help of more people.
After his injury, Lei tried his hand at boxing, fencing, and table tennis, but he always came back to rock climbing. Then, on the fifth anniversary of the accident that took the use of his legs, Lei climbed nearly 500 meters to the top of Hong Kong's Lion Rock.
To me, climbing to the top was accomplishing a dream of mine, and it also, by climbing the mountain, meant that I could show to my friends and supporters that I have overcome one of the lowest points in life. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, I can challenge other sports and still be able to do what I love most.
Lei is now a part-time motivational speaker and was recently nominated for the Laureus World Sports Awards Best Sporting Moment for his climb up Lion Rock. By overcoming his own challenges, Lei says he hopes he can inspire others to do the same.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. In Wednesday's results at the Australian Open Tennis Tournament, defending men's champion Roger Federer beat Thomas Berdych in straight sets 7-6, 6-3, and 6-4 to advance to the semifinals. Hyun Chung beat American Tennis Sandgren in straight sets 6-4, 7-6, and 6-3. Chung is the first South Korean to reach the semifinals of a Grand Slam tennis tournament. On the women's side, number one seed Simona Halep beat number six seed Karolina Pliskova in straight sets 6-3 and 6-2. And Angelique Kerber advanced to the semifinals by beating American Madison Keys 6-1 and 6-2. American tennis star Serena Williams is scheduled to return to competition for the first time in more than a year, 5 months after giving birth. The U.S. Tennis Association announced that Serena will represent the USA in its first-round Fed Cup matches against the Netherlands in Asheville, North Carolina, the weekend of February 10th and February 11th. And that wraps up the January 24th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I did it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Religious freedom is an internationally acknowledged human right, recognized as such in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Helsinki Accords, and many covenants and declarations. The promotion of religious freedom is a central element of the United States foreign policy. Countries that protect freedom of religion are more stable, economically successful, and peaceful. Nonetheless, in far too many places around the globe, people continue to be persecuted, unjustly prosecuted, or imprisoned for exercising their right to freedom of religion or belief. Today, a number of governments infringe upon individuals' ability to adopt, change, or renounce their religion or belief, worship in accordance with their religion or beliefs, or be free from coercion to practice a particular religion or belief, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. In accordance with the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998, the Secretary of State annually designates governments that have engaged in or tolerated systematic, ongoing, and egregious violations of religious freedom as countries of particular concern. At the end of December, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson redesignated Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan as countries of particular concern for having engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom. The Secretary also placed Pakistan on a special watch list for severe violations of religious freedom. From the beginning, America has been a place that has cherished the freedom of worship. Sadly, many around the globe do not enjoy this freedom, said President Donald Trump. We pray for the strength and wisdom to achieve a better tomorrow, one where good people of all faiths, Christians and Muslims and Jewish and Hindu, can follow their hearts and worship according to their conscience.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at President Donald Trump's first year in office, his successes and setbacks. We'll also take a closer look at his agenda for the year ahead. Join us for the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.